ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Now, do you remember this?
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Lock your Soyuz hatch and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
Singing that iconic Bowie song on board the International Space Station is my next guest, Commander Chris Hadfield, a musician, fighter pilot, astronaut and author. Real underachiever. Chris Hadfield is back in Australia for the release of his latest book, a sequel to The Apollo Murders. It's a thriller about the hunt for a shadowy Soviet defector. Chris, good morning, and it's great to have you in the studio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in, and lovely to talk with you.
What was it like listening to yourself?
Almost everywhere I go, people want me to play that song. I've toured and played music across Australia, and I'm glad that it's a complicated song. You know, it's not like Sugar Sugar or something. So Bowie was such a brilliant artist, and he loved that version. And so it makes me feel wistful and thoughtful and proud and sort of lucky.
You say that the majority of the characters, events, and things in your book, The Defector, are real. That worries me. Give me a sense of the and a taste of the story.
It's set in the fall of 73, during the height of the Cold War and when Nixon's presidency was failing and the rise of women's rights in the U.S. and civil rights. So kind of a tumultuous time. And this is the defection of the top fighter airplane in the Soviet Union, the MiG-25. And it originally actually defects into Israel. And then there's a lot of political intrigue. The airplane and the pilot get to the United States and they're taken to the middle of the Nevada desert in a place called Area 51. And that's actually where all the Soviet airplanes are flown and taken. But it's when the airplane gets there that the actual purpose of the book is revealed and all of the intrigue and spies and lies that are going on. So, and the book is doing fabulously well. It's the number one selling book in Canada right now, so I'm really pleased.
The Defector kicks off on the 5th of October 1973, the day before the start of the Yom Kippur War between Israel and a coalition of Arab states, which is, you know, timing is everything,
right?
Look at the situation we're in now. 40 years on, practically to the day, the region is once again in the news because of the war. Have you reflected on that?
50 years on, yeah. I think it's actually a pretty important place to try and understand the history. I was reading about it yesterday, and as long as we have recorded history, we have a history of conflict in that very much needed and contested part of the world. And so to look what happened 50 years ago with the war that was named after the Jewish celebration of Yom Kippur, you know, it sure doesn't excuse any of the wickedness that's happening, but I think it helps at least put it into some sort of context. And the other is, as an astronaut, to see those little pockets of outrageously horrific behavior, but then in the same 90 minutes to see the rest of the world, to try and put it into the context of the normality of human behavior and the peace and tranquility of most of the people on this planet, I think that perspective is important also.
The defector is, as you mentioned, about the disappearance of the Soviet fighter. As a former test pilot, you write about what you know about, right? Flying fighter jets and space. What inspired a young Chris Hadfield growing up in Canada to choose that path?
Originally, it was comic books and science fiction and Star Trek on television and 2001, A Space Odyssey. I just, you know, that's like a fantasy world. I grew up on a farm. For a little kid, the horizons are pretty close on a farm. And so to have that big fantasy world was quite mind-expanding. But at the same time, people were actually, for the first time, flying in space. And then when I was 9, about to turn 10, two guys walked on the moon. Mm. And that that crossover between fantasy and reality, it was like as if someone had just kicked a door open saying, hey, people do this. If you want to do this, totally up to you. And so I made the deliberate decision when I was just about to turn 10 that is what I want to do. And pretty much every decision since then has been the daughter of that idea. How can I do things with my life that someday somebody might trust me to fly a spaceship.
Why not the son of that idea?
I don't know. I have three kids, and I think the wisest of my three is my daughter.
So I just thought I'd pick that up. How disciplined did you have to be to make that dream a reality?
I think you need more than discipline. Self-discipline is a remarkably useful skill. I think you need a lot of tenacious patience. And I think you need someone to go through life with who is willing to help you when things look bleak. And I've been lucky enough to have all of those. My wife and I met in high school, in a high school play. And so we've been together essentially all of our adult lives. And to be able to give the other person the time and permission and opportunity to pursue what's important to them is one of the greatest parts of a partnership and relationship. And so I think I needed discipline, but I also needed luck, and I needed to go through life with the right person. And I needed, you know, to constantly be accepting the reality and trying to move forward into possibilities. And it's amazing what ended up happening so far.
Yeah, your life has been amazing. Your first flight to space was in 1995 on board the space shuttle Atlantis. How did liftoff feel after 26 years of waiting? I mean, you basically gave us a sense there of just that's part of the project. You need to kind of stay very focused and patient, don't you?
I think if I had been counting on the liftoff to justify the 26 years of preparation, I would have been woefully disappointed. Well, I think it's important to have things like, I want to fly a rocket ship, and you stick that way in the distance of cool things I want to have happen during my life, but then use that to make all the little daily decisions that are going to actually shape the reality of your life. Because my life was not the liftoff. My life was the 26 years of preparation. And all it really did was illuminate the choices that I could make and sort of the path I wanted to be on. And so I loved the whole process of the things that I learned and the things that I did getting there. And at the end of it, I got to fly a space shuttle on my first flight up to go help build a space station. So it was, there was a great sense of relief that, hey, this is actually happening now, a great sense of triumphant joy that it had actually occurred. But also, I'm realizing that it was now the start of what was going to happen after that. This wasn't an end. This was the beginning of an opportunity to do so many other things. So yeah, it was a very important day, a joyful day, a dangerous day, but in retrospect, a great day.
Yeah, going back to your book, which you're currently, you know, out talking about, at that point, did you know that you wanted to write?
Oh, I knew I wanted to write before I knew I wanted to fly in space. I always enjoyed reading. It's such an amazing way to get to know somebody. You can read something somebody wrote 1,000 years ago. I was in Istanbul, up in the Topkapi Palace, and they have a museum of prehistory there. And there are documents in clay written thousands and thousands. One's a letter home from a soldier to his mom. If you could imagine writing that in clay and having someone carry the clay tablet to your mother. But suddenly, you know that person because they took the time to write something 6,000 years ago. And so that ability to share ideas through the written word has always fascinated and intrigued me. And I've written stories my whole life, but I didn't think they'd let an English major command a spaceship. So I studied engineering and became a combat fighter pilot and then a test pilot and worked my way through. But for me, it's kind of the closing of a circle. Once you've had the amazing and almost unique richness of those experiences, what do you do with it? And how do you best share it with other people? And I play music, and I've done a master class, and I speak all over the world. But to actually write about it, then you have to be very introspective and to try and share it so other people intuitively get it, you know, this week and maybe 6,000 years from now, they intuitively get what I was trying to share with them.
The Defector is your second book after the Apollo murders. You've just announced that you're now working with Sylvester Stallone to bring the Apollo murders to the big screen. How is it working with Sylvester?
He's a great guy. He's 77 now. He's had an amazing life. His guts, when he was just a failing actor in bit parts in the 70s, you know, he was always played as a ethnically Italian thug, and he saw that wasn't going anywhere. But he had this vision of the story of Rocky and then the tenacity and the self-confidence and the willingness to change, because his first draft of Rocky wasn't very good, but he worked with a bunch of people till eventually he got to that wonderful screenplay. And his vision became so many other people's vision, and he won Academy Awards. And then he's met everybody in the world since then. So he's a fine raconteur and an interesting guy to talk to. And he started a production company named, it's called Balboa Productions, after Rocky's family name. And so I'm really happy. He loved my book, The Apollo Murders, and so did his wife, Jennifer. And so it's delightful that they are helping to produce with a British company called Altitude. So Balboa and Altitude are producing The Apollo Murders to turn it into it's probably going to be an 8-part television series. And so now I'm a thing called an executive producer, which I don't even know what that is, but I'm like everything else, I'll figure it out. And I'm going to try and make this series as good as I possibly can.
Okay, so you're now an executive producer too. Before I let you go, I don't feel like there's anything you haven't done, but is there something that you've got your eye on that you haven't yet accomplished?
I hardly know anything. I mean, the stuff that I've done, I've tried to be good at that, but I'm so fascinated by so many other things. And I try and dig deeply into them and learn about them and then help improve my understanding of the world. You know, the fact that the oldest fossil remains from almost 4 billion years ago are here in Australia. And what does that mean? 4 billion years of life interrupted. And what does that mean for our current perspectives? And where are we going with all this? I think about all those things a lot and speak about them and then try and work the ideas into what I'm choosing to do next.
It's been great to talk to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Lovely to speak with you as well.
That's Commander Chris Hadfield, and his novel The Defector is out now.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.